And we are live.
Welcome back, beautiful and amazing human beings. This is Luke Radowski here in Lisbon, Portugal, which Jason Burmes thought was in South America. Sorry, Jason. Well, we just had that conversation. But I am here covering the Infinite Man Conference. That was a very interesting conference. It's like a self-help, self-development, entrepreneur, business kind of conference. I did a ton of interviews. I'm going to do more interviews about this topic. And we're going to talk about it in a little bit here, but we're going to be live for the next hour. It is 1:30 a.m. here in Lisbon, Portugal. I think it's 7:30 p.m. Eastern in New York City, July 15th, 2018. And again, we are going to be taking all of your questions mainly on our YouTube channel. And this broadcast is going to be broadcasted out on iTunes and Twitter and Facebook and all these other ones. But of course, we will be answering super chats first, since they keep us free and independent and not slaves to the establishment. And of course, joining me for this broadcast is Jason Burmes. Jason, how are you, brother?
I am very good. You know, decent weather out here. It's not too bad. It's not European weather, as you're on a nice little porch. It looks nice out there. So, you know, not too bad. Yourself?
Yeah, I can't be too loud here because I'm literally on a balcony. This is the closest I could get to the router without disturbing the people I'm sharing the Airbnb with. But Infinite Man has been an incredible conference. I'm doing an interview. I just did an interview with Peter Sage. I don't know if people heard of him, but that video is dropping tomorrow. Just insane, crazy stories, a big motivational speaker. But overall, the conference helped me, you know, reinvigorate myself and motivate myself. And it was a lot of hippy-dippy stuff, a lot of self-help stuff. But ultimately, the idea that no one, especially the government, controls you. You control yourself, and that ultimately begins with your thoughts. And the whole hippie premonition that your thoughts become your words, your actions, your habits, your values, and of course your destiny. So I'm feeling pumped up. I'm feeling a lot better. I'm around a lot of like crazy business people, crazy hippie people, all doing sorts of crazy stuff, which of course you're going to see later on this week on this YouTube channel. But in this video, we got a lot to talk about, Jason. There's been a crap ton of news, especially with Trump and the protest, with the Helsinki Putin meeting, with Elon Musk, with Israel, with the Supreme Court nomination, and so much more. But of course, let's just get right into it and get into the most important news that happened this week, which we're going to be talking about all of those issues and then breaking down an important news story from every day of the week. Jason, what's the first story that we have lined up for everyone here?
So obviously, Trump went over to Europe. First stop was in London for this NATO summit, went to Scotland, and we had these protests. And by the numbers, you know, some people said hundreds of thousands, some people said tens of thousands. There seemed to be a pretty large presence in the afternoon, but the hype around this baby balloon, I mean, I've never seen, you and I have been to a lot of protests, right? I mean, you more than me, right? And you always see something of the president dressed up as a puppet or something, right? It's not a big deal. Sometimes it's a balloon, sometimes it's not. This thing got more media attention than Kim Kardashian in the last week. And, you know, to me, I'm kind of...
Yeah, and of course, CNN is providing immersive coverage, 360-degree coverage of all the protests that are happening. And, of course, the numbers vary, but it was significant because the numbers go from 100,000 to 250,000 people that came out onto the streets to protest Donald Trump. That's a huge, significant number. And that definitely, Jason, wasn't a huge, significant blimp at all. I mean, the way it was portrayed to everyone, like this was going to be a huge balloon that was towering all over London that you couldn't ignore. And it looked like something that you bought at a party store for like $500 at most. And they spent £30,000 on it, fundraised for it, and also had to get special approval from the British government. And as we know, the London mayor, Sadiq Khan, personally approved it, which Charlie Skelton, he's a friend of mine, and he's also a very excellent news reporter, pointed out that there's, you know, something slightly fascistic when it comes to a group-approved caricature, satire, that ultimately every detail of was approved by the government, including the details of how the balloon would be shaped. So this is something that definitely didn't inspire a lot of people, definitely didn't wow a lot of people, to say the least.
No, man, it looked like a glorified beach ball at a Nickelback concert. I mean, if you think about it, it wasn't really big. It wasn't towering. It wasn't very original. Tell me I'm wrong. I don't think I am. And, you know, on the flip side of all this, and by the way, Skelton is a really bright guy. I've had the pleasure to meet him a couple times and hang out with him. And he's spot on this because you've never, first of all, there was no way that you would have seen any kind of media coverage for Barack Obama like this, right? Never would have happened. And even Bush, let me tell you, there were tons of puppets of Bush, and there was plenty of reason and outrage to do something like this, and it just never occurred. I still remember when we were at the 9/11 protest with a significant number of people, thousands, if you will, and there was just, you know, nothing to talk about there.
Are you there, or did we break up?
Are you still there, buddy? I hear you, although it looks like you might have frozen. Guys, he's got a very odd connection right now, so it looks like he's frozen. He's back.
I'm still there. I still hear you.
Oh, okay,
I still hear you. You're coming back in and out.
Gotcha. But if you look at the flip side of this,
I'm going to have to get rid of the live stream. Portugal doesn't have the best internet, so I'm going to have to turn off the chat.
Okay. I'll keep up on the super chats.
Super chat.
Yeah. I'll keep up on the super chats then.
So I apologize. The internet is not so great, and I can't really speak up like I usually speak up because, again, there's people sleeping here at like 1:30 in the morning here. So I apologize for that. I just turned off the live stream on my end, so I can't see the comments, but we could definitely continue on with the stories. And I think you just made a very excellent point. The protests during George W. Bush's administration were huge, but they weren't being pushed and propagated like they are right now by the mainstream media that was obsessing over a freaking what looked like a Toys R Us little balloon that you could get anywhere else. So there's definitely a lot of bias by the mainstream media happening here.
Yes, absolutely, Luke. And you see that, yeah. You know, and Donald Trump, he's claiming, you know, there was many protesters in favor of myself. And I don't know if that's the case. I don't know how many people came out for Trump out in Europe. But ultimately, Luke, let's be honest, it's not
Trump's,
their decision.
Trump's not winning himself any favors with comments like that, especially when they're hypocritical in nature, saying that more people came out to support him when in reality, Trump is completely wrong on that, which he needs to be called out on, and sadly only makes him look worse in the eye of everyone else because that was not true. That was a lie. The government's lie, president's lie, and we have to account for that as well.
And, you know, the bottom, let's get to the meat and potatoes of this. This was for NATO. He called out Angela Merkel. He called out Germany in particular, said they were controlled by Russia, said, you know, now with their new deal, there would be 60% of their energy coming from Russia. Russia called out how they were only paying 1% of their GDP. We play, I believe, 4.2% of a much larger GDP, and basically said, hey, we're going to restructure this deal, which I'm not against. And he didn't, you know, have the aggressive attitude towards Russia out there. So, you know, this was a big weekend, and, you know, we can take the media's spin on it because, you know, here we go. Here's NBC. Trump still needs NATO, just like NATO still needs America. And the latest Russian indictments prove it. And of course, they're talking about the indictments of the 12 hackers that were allegedly these personas and the heads of DC leaks and used VPNs and Bitcoin to do this. Still no collusion with anybody in the United States, by the way, Luke. Still no collusion. They point to Roger Stone in an email with Guccifer 2.0. But this seemed to be the majority of this NATO summit. That's what it was about. It was about dealing with Germany, NATO, what are they going to pay, Russia, and the Helsinki summit coming up.
Yeah, and all these indictments that are, you know, talked about right now happened under Obama's administration, and Obama's administration and Obama's FBI failed to stop them. And you would think they would stop them if they were that, you know, serious. But obviously, we're going to find out more information about this deal. But there's a lot of talk about NATO. And of course, a lot of right-wingers are really loving this talk because they get to say, like, look at Europe. They're spending all of their money on socialism and healthcare. Meanwhile, the right-wingers are saying that they could only do that because they don't spend that much on military. And it is true. The United States accounts for nearly 75% of NATO defense spending. The other countries in the European Union are supposed to allocate at least 2%. And it's only been the UK, Greece, and Estonia are the only countries to meet that goal or surpass it. So, of course, this is a very good talking point for a lot of right-wingers that they're going with. But ultimately, to me, this is a loss for everyone. I think You know, the right wingers make a point saying the United States shouldn't be financing the European military and the European protection just by ourselves, that the Europeans need to chip in. And I can understand how some people see that as valid, but ultimately the United States spends more on defense than all the other top 7 to 8 countries combined. And no one is a winner when the majority of our money is going towards the destruction of other people and entities that we share this planet with. That's a very hippie view. But if you look at NATO, for an example, no one in the mainstream media is talking about their recent conflicts that NATO was involved in and how absolutely horrible failures they were. Look at Afghanistan and Libya, the latest two military conflicts that NATO was involved in. Both countries ended up in disaster and are still in disaster, and trillions of dollars is being funneled into that for absolutely no reason, and the greater geopolitical goals are not even achieved. And they're even pushing people away from the United States. So this whole military-industrial complex, this whole push for more people to spend on the military, especially in the European Union, doesn't really end up in anyone's favor. I could see from a nationalistic right-wing talking point why some people are running with it, and some people are cheering on Donald Trump now because they don't want the United States just financing their security. But ultimately, there shouldn't be a need with the United States spending so much already, and we should definitely cut back on a lot of defense spending, and that's an argument you will never hear on the mainstream media, because the mainstream media is large in part controlled by the military industrial and the intelligence agencies and the Pentagon that they have all of their officials on, and they always broadcast. If you look at the mainstream media, there was a test done a couple years ago. 93% of their guests are people from pro-war stances, people who were working for the Pentagon and are working for a military-industrial complex that makes money off more war. And we have seen the mainstream media push for more war, push for more fear, push for more conflict, pretty much ultimately doing the bidding of the warmongers. So my point of view on all of this is no one wins. Let's stop all this crazy rampant defense spending and actually spend it on, you know, don't even spend it on anything. Government shouldn't spend anything on, I don't trust the government to do anything. Just stop taxing people so much as they are. That's my point of view on it.
Well, you know, Luke, I'm glad you kind of talked about the military-industrial complex aspect of this, because we can sit here and talk about the media spin, or you can go right to the meat and potatoes press conference again, about 35 minutes long. Now, in this, he talks about, how he wants peace, and, you know, he's adopted Obama's wars. He didn't want these military conflicts, but just like you said, in the middle of it, he just started talking about how great our Lockheed Martin is, how great Northrop Grumman is, that they're the top-of-the-line missiles. Everybody wants them. Listen, they got to come to us because we make the best stuff. Nobody can make them. I mean, there's literally a 2 to 3 minute segment in this where he talks about how great the private contractors for our military-industrial complex are. And it's kind of funny, you know, before we get into, you know, him talking about the Helsinki summit coming up, and we'll get into that next, he also briefly talks about Pompeo going to North Korea. And, you know, I kind of wanted to hear this because he's saying, look, there haven't been any missile tests, by the way. That's all media spin. They're giving back the remains of our soldiers. They've taken the speakers off. There's no more propaganda being, you know, thrown through the streets. And the media is still, while John Bolton's right at his other side, pushing for a conflict with North Korea. So, you know, again, you have a lot of conflicts of interest here. We got the best bombs in the world. We make great bombs. Peace with North Korea. You know, is this just him posturing, in your opinion? Because I'm still hopeful on the North Korea deal, my man.
I am not that hopeful, especially with relations between the United States and China going down. Ultimately, we have to understand that there's bigger players out here, and that includes Russia and China, which is going to be very instrumental in the kind of Helsinki meeting that's going to happen in just a few days between Russian President Vladimir Putin and Donald Trump, which, of course, mainly the U.S. mainstream media is fear-mongering about and trying to scare the public about and trying to push this narrative, which Donald Trump is calling out on his Twitter account, saying that, unfortunately, no matter what, even if he's given Moscow as a retribution for all the sins and evil that Russia committed, that the mainstream media will still try to paint this as he's losing or did something horrible. And, you know, we have to understand they're the ones controlling the dialogue, and we have to reshift that focus. We have to understand the dialogue begins with us, not with the puppeteers, not with the mainstream media that are ultimately right now rigging the game against people like me, people like you, people who do independent media and are getting screwed over. They are trying to control the dialogue because they know how important it is to set the conversation. And the conversations that they're setting right now is that it's horrible that there's going to be relations between Russia and the United States. It's horrible. And Donald Trump is not the solution here. People have to understand, you can't go either far left or far right, far mainstream media, far Donald Trump, because Donald Trump, again, is ultimately lobbying to boost up the military-industrial complex. Like, hey, Europe, spend more money on the military-industrial complex. And we have seen the devastation and chaos that the military-industrial complex, especially in the United States, has caused people all around the world merely for idiotic reasons. The war in Iraq, the war in Afghanistan, the war in Libya, the war in Syria, all pointless wars that didn't achieve anything and made the situation worse for people. This is a dialogue that must come into the rational thinking, and we must be the ones who lay out this conversation and not the mainstream media, and especially not Donald Trump. It's supposed to be the people who are keeping a close eye on all of it and are willing to call out both sides for being idiotic and stupid, and both sides are, and that's how they control us, because they have us reacting like, oh, yeah, I'm nationalistic. Yeah, we have to be with Trump and do this, and we have to support him pushing for the military-industrial complex and the European Union, financing that. And other people are like, no, we can't do that. We got to go with the mainstream media that's dissing him on having better relations. And it's like, no, none of those things have to happen. You control the dialogue. You don't have to pick sides. And the rational discussion here is, let's end all of this crazy defense spending and all this crazy taxation that happens within the United States. And that's something, again, that no one really, except for a few independent media folks, are talking about. I'm like, I just looked up NATO and Trump, and it's already Trump's whiplash NATO summit. Again, it's very hyperbolic, very divisive, and it's done like that on purpose to keep you separated from the ultimate truth, and that is the military-industrial complex sucks, and it shouldn't be expanded, and other countries shouldn't be paying for it, and both sides are wrong on this issue. But of course, we're going to determine if the military-industrial complex gets what they want. Obviously, Donald Trump has been pushing for the military-industrial complex, but we're going to find all that out as soon as Donald Trump sits down with Vladimir Putin in Helsinki, Finland, which is, again, a very important city, which people need to realize. This is where a lot of the major Cold War decisions were made, especially after World War II, were the Helsinki Accords. And this is where the future of Europe was decided after World War II. And now it looks like the future of world peace will either be started slowly, incrementally, or will be calmed down and put towards a path of more progress and peace. And obviously throughout history, when you have peace, you have more evolution, you have more progress, you have more development, you have more growth. With war, you obviously just have destruction, and my principles and my stances are always anti-war. It used to be a time and period in the United States where there was actual people who stood for those ideas and those principles. Those people are mainly gone. Those people are mainly sold out for ego, for money, or just went completely bat poop crazy in their minds and became conservatives or total libtards, Jason.
Yeah, you know, I don't play either side of the fence. It is about right and wrong. And, you know, as we were discussing earlier, why can't we look at each issue and have some discernment and not play it like, you know, political sports? And as we talk about Helsinki and this thing coming up, I want to go to the super chat really quick. Avataz, hey, Luke, this isn't $25 million, but hope it helps. Of course, he's talking about the $25 million that YouTube is pumping into mainstream media. We both did a video about this. I know you talked to Derek Bros about it, and I actually went over their press release. It's still up on their website, what authoritative sources really are, who they're working with. We need to apply, by the way. We can at least apply for a grant from YouTube. So I think that'll be pretty funny. You think I'm joking?
I highly doubt we will be approved.
That's fine. It's going to make a great video.
You do it, Jason. Do it.
We're going to apply.
Screen cap it as you do it, and then let's follow the progress of that.
We're going to do it this week, folks. So that'll.
Everything we say is pretty much sourced. Yeah, everything we say is pretty much sourced and documented. People look up everything themselves. When we, entertain opinions, we tell you we're entertaining opinions. We try to give you the best news service we can here by being the most, the most integral and the more. Honest of a news organizations here, and it doesn't matter in this day and age. You go against the grain, you go against the establishment, you will be on the chopping block, and that's a lesson that they're teaching to everyone on Facebook, on YouTube, on Twitter, and we are seeing massive purges happening right now, not only with soft censorship and demonetization, where already I'm seeing about 50% less independent media that I have last year because people can't finance their operations, or either their Facebook pages or YouTube channels are soft censored or just hard censored and just completely destroyed and deleted. This is a travesty that's happening right now. The mainstream media is trying to control the dialogue in order to divide and conquer you, so you don't hear voices that are anti-war, anti-establishment, anti-lies and bullcrap. So it's pretty much anyone telling the truth is on their chopping block and trying to make you think for yourself, most importantly. Is on their target, and we have been on their target since day one. We were one of the first YouTube channels to ever get demonetized. I could go on. We could just make this whole video about how YouTube has screwed us, but that might have to do with us confronting Eric Schmidt at Bilderberg, the former Google CEO who now works for Alphabet. That's a whole completely other story. But I think the next story we have is Conor McGregor. Being in Russia as well, which is interesting, but continue your points, Jason.
Yeah, no, before Trump gets there, and we're going to talk about Trump, because before Trump goes there, he's going to meet with some people, but I just wanted to point out, this was a good place to stick this, because before Putin meets Trump, he's meeting McGregor, and let me tell you what this is all about. So, I see people talking about World Cup final and schmoozing. This is about a big business deal with the UFC to have the first event in Russia, probably with his rival right now, Khabib Nurmagomedov, and if they make that fight happen, who's Russian? Exactly, that would be huge. That's the fight the fans want to see. That's the fight I want to see. I think it could be huge, but chances are they'll try to make it some kind of S show and make it like George St. Pierre super fight or something stupid. I hope that it goes to the real fight. I know we're getting away from politics here, folks, but at the same time,
it's completely fine. Yeah, but you saw Conor McGregor even go out and call Vladimir Putin one of the greatest leaders of our time. A very grand statement, a very divisive statement by Conor McGregor. And I think Putin is kind of smart in kind of opening up Russia, most likely to the UFC, which everyone is speculating there's going to be a big fight there. But also with one of the biggest celebrities out there getting a huge endorsement from him. Definitely a lot of PR about Vladimir Putin right now.
Yeah, and the fact is that if you look at, Trump and the UFC, they have a long history, lots of events there. Dana White actually spoke at the Republican National Convention on behalf of Trump, put all his weight behind him. Colby Covington recently won the 170 title. He is meeting up with Trump. They're tweeting at each other. So there is a relationship both with the UFC and Trump and the UFC and Putin. Hey, let's get together, baby. Let the fist fly in the ring and let the handshake outside it.
Now, Jason, now the FBI is going to get their panties in a bunch and they're going to start investigating Conor McGregor just like they did Emilio. What was his name?
Fedor Emelianenko.
Was the UFC fighter?
Fedor Emelianenko. Not UFC
Fedor
fighter.
Fedor Emelianenko was a famous MMA fighter, and he once met with Vladimir Putin. Vladimir Putin came to his fights. So they knew each other. And the FBI came and investigated him about the Trump-Russia ties because Fedor Putin was at his match. the Russian investigation just went totally unhinged, even going that far. It will be interesting to see if Conor is going to be investigated by the FBI for even having this meeting with Putin.
Yeah, and all right, so before we get to the next big story, who is Trump meeting with and talking to before he meets Putin? And we're going to get there. Two super chats. We're going to go to this one first because it's more relevant. Jesse Schmidt, McGregor versus Khabib, who wins? Khabib manhandles him. This would be a huge win for Russia. This would be the Rocky moment in Russia. Oh, dude. Luke, who was right last time? Who was right last time?
No.
Listen, he ragdolls him. He literally ragdolls him.
He's a dirty boxer. He got lucky.
Well, you can say what you want. Yeah, I'm telling
me,
you right
me
now.
And Jason watched the UFC fights.
We watched the Cormier and Miocic.
I was not happy the last. Yeah, I was not happy with Cormier. I'm not a Cormier fan. I'm just sorry. I just don't like him. I just can't. No. I was really sad with Strength Bay lost. But I think I'm just going to go. Connor surprises people all the time. Connor's like the comeback kid. He always like figures out a way. He's gonna win. Connor's definitely going to win. I like Connor. I like everything about him.
I think that he gets taken down within a minute.
I like the fighting styles.
Mm-hmm. No, he gets taken down within a minute. He then gets pummeled in the face as Khabib has his back, and then he either gets knocked out due to strikes or he gets choked out from behind. But listen, we got another super chat, and then we got more stories. I know that
second
you're running on low battery.
Knockout by Connor. Second round knockout by Connor. I told you that big fat piece of goo was going to win. Cormier was going to win against Stripey, even though I didn't want him to win. I know I was. We both called it in the second round with the last UFC. We were wrong, but we both knew who was going to win. I didn't want him to win, but he did. But I still think Connor knockout second round. And that's what I'm calling it from here, from that fight. What's the next super chat?
Next super chat. Michael L. Dr. Shiva Ayardio is anti-establishment, running against Warren for Senate. Try to get an interview or do a promo. You guys have similar values. I don't know much about him. I have seen his name in my Facebook feed, so I'll definitely check him out. And if that coincides, we'll reach out, right, Luke?
Yeah, definitely, 100%. We're open to interviewing anyone, especially if they're going against establishment candidates. So if you guys know any anti-establishment outsiders trying to win political office, you know, we always love to talk to them to give them and highlight their attention. We're trying to get an interview. I'm working on one with a 28-year-old socialist Democrat. We actually have some mutual friends. I have a friend that actually worked with her, so I'm actually trying to work on an interview with that. It's going to be very hard, but we're doing our best here to talk to as many people as we can. And for the people who play politics, this is definitely an interesting landscape with a lot of surprises happening and a very unpredictable political landscape unfolding with a lot of people not being happy with the establishment. Surprise, surprise. So, hold on, my computer. Okay.
So, Jesse Schmidt, another super chat. McGregor wins. Jason, you go down a notch on my UFC insider tips. That's fine. I've been hated for my opinions before.
Thank you.
See what happens after the bell rings, my friend. That's all I can say about that. My opinions may be unpopular, but mark my words, it's a Nurmagomedov fight. Luke, are we getting to the next story, or are we talking MMA? Next story?
Yeah, we can do either or. We're pretty much in the middle of this broadcast, but we can just continue on, even though
this is a big story,
Cormier does not deserve two belts, and Conor McGregor will definitely defeat that damn Ruski. but moving forward, the last political story that we were talking about was kind of the political fear mongering that the mainstream media was putting on this meeting between Putin and Trump, and we are seeing a lot of the media kind of position themselves for a more directed conflict with Putin, with Russia, of course, against the United States. And with that fear-mongering, we have to understand that this whole Trump-Russia collusion thing is not really portrayed when you look at Trump's foreign policy, because Trump's foreign policy has been way more aggressive than Barack Obama towards Russia. And it was Barack Obama's that has set Russian relations at an all-time low between the U.S. and Russia. Trump has even made it lower with very aggressive actions inside of Syria. Hundreds of Russian soldiers, hundreds of Russian mercenaries were killed directly or indirectly because of the U.S. military intervention and involvement inside of Syria. There's been major geopolitical moves made, especially with the arms sales and lethal arms sales that were made from the United States to Ukraine. This was a very, very aggressive move. And when we look at everything that has been happening, Donald Trump's foreign policy is not one of a pro-Russia one. It is a very military-industrial complex one. It is a very similar one to Barack Obama, a very similar one to George W. Bush. And they all keep expanding a lot of these conflicts. Now, duly noted, Trump kind of diluted one with North Korea, but with the conflicts and tensions raising with China, I expect that to go nowhere, but right now it is a PR victory for him that I don't see playing out in the long run. But when it comes to these aggressive moves, the United States has been making them with Israel, especially within the Middle East and even Ukraine, where just last week we talked about how members in Israel were selling arms to right-wing militias inside of Ukraine that are directly fighting pro-Russian forces, the separatists inside of Ukraine. And this brings us to this next article, because everyone should talk about this, but no one's talking about this because everyone's afraid to mention the I word, and that is Israel. We're not afraid to mention Israel because we should criticize Israel fairly, and they have a lot of influence, especially when it comes to Donald Trump, especially when it comes to Donald Trump's son-in-law, which works in the White House, Jared Kushner, and all the deals that they made for each other. And this one goes without exception with an article that we have here from Reuters, with Netanyahu, Trump discuss Syria, Iran ahead of Helsinki summit. And of course, Israel has their demands, Israel has their wants for the region, and Israel usually gets their way when it comes to lobbying from the United States. And it's very important that they're discussing Syria and Iran. Obviously, those topics are going to be very heavily talked about and debated between Trump and Putin. So is Ukraine, but mostly Syria and Iran, because Iran and Israel have been on a pathway to war for years now, and that pathway is only expanding even more, becoming more hyperbolic, becoming more tenuous, and it really looks like there's not going to be a peaceful resolution to Iran. Now, Iran was supposed to leave the Syrian territory. Have they left? It's still uncertain, but Israel proved without a shadow of a doubt they will go beyond the rational means to make sure that Iran does not have any influence right next to its border. So the future of Syria will definitely be decided, at least the pathway towards it. It won't be dramatic. It won't happen in an instant. But the future plans of Syria will be decided, without a doubt, when Putin and Trump meet. And Israel is, of course, positioning itself so it's favorable to them. And that's something that people need to know about. That's something that people do need to talk about, because again, it's serving the interest of Israel and not really the United States.
Well, absolutely, Luke. And you know, again, this should be all over the mainstream media, but it's not. We're seeing this on a Reuters Newswire story. And it's funny because before the Helsinki summit, during his NATO speech, he actually did discuss Iran and said they haven't been so nice to us. But he's like, you notice they're treating us with more respect now after he pulled out of the deal. So, you know, obviously this story is bigger than people realize, because just this Sunday, that's today, Luke, this is a breaking story. And remember, he just arrived in Helsinki hours ago to talk with Putin. He's conversing with Netanyahu right before this. Well, the Syrian government right now is hitting the Israeli-occupied Golan Heights region with missiles right now. So
yeah, and we have to understand Israel has made that area a safe haven for a lot of the rebel groups. Last week we talked about a peace deal that the Syrian government and the Russians were working out with the rebel groups in that southern territory right along Israel's border, and some rebels have actually left that territory, but some rebels have stayed, and you could see a big push by the Syrian government to try to reestablish their territory, because the establishment of territory will be decided when Trump and Putin meet. Those are the two biggest proponents of the bigger proxy war that's happening here. And the bigger war that's happening inside of Syria is the United States and their interest, along with Saudi Arabia and Israel, versus Russia, Syria, Iran, and the Chinese interests that are also in that country as well. So they're pretty much going to decide that, and that's why we're seeing such a push right now, with rebels leaving, truces made, being able to leave to another territory that some of the rebels were able to fight in, some of the rebels stayed, and that's why the Syrian government is bombing it as much as they can so they could have control of that region before major decisions are made on borders.
Yeah, and it looks like this is it. This is the last leg. If they clear this southern region, that's going to do it for the insurgents and the rebels. And let's be honest, those are the people that were backed by Israel. That's why it's Israeli occupied, the United States, and European allies. So is this finally going to be it, Luke? Do you think we leave Syria, or is there going to be another chemical attack, some other kind of false flag, another reason to have a quagmire there. Again, this is a big meeting in Helsinki. Will Putin say this is enough? What's your take?
I mean, Putin's going to be lobbying for his interests. Donald Trump is going to be lobbying for the United States, Israel's, and Saudi Arabia's interest, mainly also the military-industrial complex. With Donald Trump pushing for the military-industrial complex, just like we saw during the big NATO speech, I haven't put much analysis into it, but I see the meeting happening. And again, it could go either way. It could go really bad for the sake of peace, or it could go really good for the sake of peace. I think with the interest control in the United States that it's going to be very difficult for Donald Trump to pull off something very significant here. We may see some moves. I mean, the United States hasn't left Afghanistan in, what, over 17 years now. Why would they leave Syria, where they already established military bases and have thousands of troops fighting there? The mainstream media would chew him up if he did leave the troops out of Syria, which I don't see him doing, especially with Assad still being there. It also depends on what Russia's coming to the table with, because Russia, under Barack Obama, even came to the proposition to the United States saying, okay, we'll work out a deal where Assad is not in power. So this is a key proponent that Russia has even had on the table with the United States. And the United States turned that deal down when they could have toppled Bashar al-Assad, with the Russians offering that up with his leaving of the office. And the United States took that down. So unless, maybe if Putin makes a transition deal, because the United States is ultimately stuck in a quagmire here, because the United States, there's no chance of winning. It's ultimately a stalemate, Russia and Syria getting more territory with taking their country back. And it's kind of forcing the United States to make a move, and it may be one where Vladimir Putin offers Bashar al-Assad to step down, and then the United States leaves. This would be the best case scenario for the possibility of peace in that region. The Golan Heights region will also be debated, because Israel wants the Golan Heights region. Syria says it was their territory. It's their land. Israel can't have it. So there's definitely going to be some angry parties leaving this kind of big thing that happened. So with even myself, I don't see a lot of the bigger decisions being announced automatically. This is just, you know, pure speculation from what I know from all my research. I don't think there's a possibility of a full war, but I do think there's going to be some kind of deal that will decide the future of Syria, where the U.S. is still involved, and also Russia is still involved, with Iran being moved out of the picture. So I think that is the most likely scenario that's going to be kind of reestablished here. But I don't see the troops leaving. And a 40% chance, 30% chance of Bashar al-Assad stepping down. But that's a very unlikely chance. But if that does happen, expect major concessions from the United States. But I see this as an initial meeting. I don't see any major concessions happening here. But I see long-term plans being laid out that will probably be kept out of public knowledge, because, again, they are meeting in secret. No one's going to know exactly what they talked about. And I think this is more of a kind of feeling each other out and really discussing some concessions and the possibilities towards moving forward with more progress or even more war, because there's other people who are speculating that this whole Russia-US thing is pretty much engineered by both sides, and both sides need it to justify their big military spending. And without each other, there's no justification for it. And this also brings in the third paradox of China, because a lot of people on the geopolitical scale are also speculating that the United States is opening up and finally working better relations with Russia, because China is becoming more adversarial, with the United States being adversarial towards China. And that situation won't unfold for the United States, especially if they have Russia against them as well. So that's a third paradigm that I think a lot of people aren't looking into, that I think is bringing Donald Trump to the picture to kind of feel him out, and then work out some basic plans and then be committed with them later on in the process of what these guys have between each other.
Well, you know, Luke, there's also the caveat of what American politicians are talking about and pushing for with this this meeting. The day after the Strzok hearings, we did an in-depth video this week. If you want to check it out, very long hearings, went over 10 hours with breaks, I think like 11 hours. But the day after that happens, what do? They put these indictments out, Luke. And now people like even Trey Gowdy, who's a firebrand up there against Strzok, are saying, you need to go to Putin. You need to tell him where those 25 Russians are because there was an indictment of 13. Remember, none of these are colluding with anybody in the United States in politics. There's no collusion here, but they've indicted for tampering. And Rand Paul seems to be the only person who's measured on this, on both sides of the aisle. Rand Paul on Russia indictments. We should focus on protecting elections instead of a witch hunt on the president. So what's your take on this angle? Obviously, the FBI was politically motivated to throw these indictments out after the Strzok hearing and right before he goes to Helsinki.
Yeah, this was definitely calculated. This is definitely a way to kind of spur up this kind of heated dialogue that's happening there. And if it was really a threat to U.S. elections and the Barack Obama administration and Barack Obama's FBI knew it was happening, they would have stopped it. They would have tried to, you know, catch it red-handed as it was happening instead of, you know, releasing it at a very key political time to try to, again, separate the United States and Russia away from each other to bolster up more conflicts. So very key time that this happened. If it was really a threat, if it really undermined elections, they would have stopped it since they're saying that they knew about it, since they're saying that they have these indictments. I still want to see exact, proof of what they did and what effect that they had. And I think these are questions that more people need to ask. But when they're, you know, interrogating Fedor Emelianenko, MMA fighters, and, you know, working with people like Stormy Daniels, it really doesn't seem like they have the best interest at heart when it comes to doing the right thing, except for trying to get more political brownie points and make it a witch hunt, which a lot of people, I believe, correctly do say. And it just creates a big distraction and creates more confusion and more conflict between world powers, which ultimately the mainstream media is pushing for more war. Also, Jason, you should know my battery is running low. I may have a few minutes left to be with you guys, and you may have to continue everything by yourself. But that's only because I can't connect my laptop anywhere here. I'm on a balcony. Sorry.
All right. So then let's move through the Strzok hearing. All right. In-depth video over at the main page, 13 plus minutes long, just to give people an idea. C-SPAN themselves cut up just him and Trey Gowdy going at each other. That was 28 minutes and change. Okay, so some of the highlights, what the hell happened during this Strzok hearing? First of all, totally and completely directed by the FBI, as we show in the video. At one point, after he wasn't able to talk about a subject for seven hours about Fusion GPS, all of a sudden he gets handed a phone with a direct quote for him to read off the phone from his lawyers at the FBI on what he's allowed to say. I mean, he admitted that in 2012, the Russians probably tried to meddle in the election. Didn't seem so concerned then. Cummings, on the Democratic side, because this was such a partisan hearing, brought out big pictures of Flynn and Gates, and it's guilty, guilty, guilty. So then Trey Gowdy asks him, how many indictments do we have for Russian collusion in the election? And then Strzok has to say, well, you know, that's a joke because collusion's not a crime. And he's like, you know what? Collusion's not a crime. You're right. How about corruption or conspiracy? And he's like, well, I couldn't answer that. He's like, sure you can. You're the lead investigator. Tell me, how many? And he's like, zero.
Mm-hmm.
So even with these indictments afterwards, exactly. Dude, people, please, please, please share the video. Go check it out. I mean, just the stuff we put in that is unbelievable. There was a point where Louis Gohmert talked to him about cheating on his wife. It was incredible. He was told, was he off his medications? This was political theater at its best. The Wiener laptop brought up just a couple of times. And again, it seemed like he, in fact, by his own words, Luke, he was less worried about the Wiener email as he was really worried about Russian forces trying to influence their election. There could be nothing more dire than them taking over our democratic process. Obviously biased. So much going on. And then this is little reported. People aren't talking about this as much. But his girlfriend, his mistress, Luke, gave testimony the day after behind closed doors. And she seems to be cooperating. So this saga is probably far from over. You and I both know just from looking at the surface documentation, there was obvious bias. There was obvious corruption. The Democrats will continue to make it about left and right. And the Republicans will still try to play their party syndrome. But we know what this is really about. This is about them not wanting Trump because he wasn't in complete lockstep with everything that they were willing to do with Hillary Clinton. Now, that doesn't mean that he's not Israel's best friend and that he doesn't plan on bombing Syria. But there are nuances to this, Luke.
Yeah, there's definitely a lot of nuances. And Donald Trump, when he first came on the political scene, am I still there?
Yes, you are, sir.
Damn it.
No, you're on. You're on.
Okay. Wait, my computer just shut off. Well, maybe this will work.
There goes your video, but go ahead, talk. We hear you still. Oh, and I think we just lost him. All right, folks. So we're gonna just continue on. We're going to truck on. That was Luke Radowski. He's out of here from Portugal. Don't worry, Jesse. I'll get to your final super chat in a moment. But as far as the Stork hearing goes, Lisa Stork, again, we're far from over on this. There is a ton left in this saga. And look, of course there was bias. There was so much lawyer speak and filibustering going on. Again, it was something to behold. Go check out our video on it. I want to move on. I want to get past all the Russian stuff. And I want to move on to Elon Musk because there was a lot. Elon was in the news a lot this week. Okay, let's take a look at this one. Elon Musk says on Twitter that he is going to actually, and this would be great, he's going to pay to fix Flint, and he is going to get their water back in the mix. Awesome. This is the kind of thing that makes me like Elon Musk. I think this is the kind of thing that makes everybody like Elon Musk. Okay? Now, this has been an issue. It's hard for me to believe has not been a national emergency, hasn't been a priority of the Trump administration, hasn't been something that the mainstream media would hold against him. I suspect that's because this went on long before Trump. It's in the Obama administration. It would take an infrastructure change, and they really don't want to highlight how bad Michigan and, you know, not just Detroit, but Flint and its outer suburbs have really gotten. So Musk, this is a big, good PR move. Now, I'm not so sure about this one. People have suspected that Musk is right-leaning, but apparently he's given a ton of money to a Republican GOP Protect the House super PAC, okay? So now people are questioning whether or not, you know, he's a complete Republican. And I know people that follow the quote-unquote alt-right. There's a lot of media attention given to Elon Musk. I'm on the fence about Musk, man, because when we get to the next story outside of the super PAC and outside of him seemingly about to do a great thing for Flint, Michigan, well, here it is. And it's like, wow, this is pretty crazy. Does he know something I don't know? Everybody's heard about this Thai boys in a cave story. They've been rescued. There was a British diver that, you know, was this quote-unquote hero, supposedly. And Elon Musk, I'll just read you the headline, attacks hero British diver and questions if he was even part of the Thai cave rescue in extraordinary rant after the caver dismissed the billionaire, saying he can stick his submarine where it hurts. And during this, he also questions somebody as a pedophile. Again, it's like, well, is Musk unhinged? Or does, again, he know more than I do about this situation? It did seem really suspicious. But at the same time, Musk giving money to super PACs, talking about proving the Thai cave boy rescue is some kind of, the narrative is not correct, it's some kind of a hoax, talking about pedophilia. So, I don't know. some pretty crazy stuff going on with Elon Musk. Is this him starting to unravel in the mainstream media? In other words, is the mainstream media turning on Elon Musk and, you know, starting to portray him as unhinged, if you will? All right, we want to get to some other stories here from the week, and I thought that this one was simply incredible, but this shows where we're headed in the United States. This, of course, is over in the UK. Government drops doctor who says gender is given at birth. Yes, this is a doctor, and he can no longer work for the Department of Work and Pensions, the DWP, because he refuses to buy into the fact that you can actually choose your gender. Now, that's not to say you want to identify as something, but he's saying, hey, you know, not only is it a medical belief of mine, but it's my religious belief, and no, he's been fired. It's because of a 2010 civil rights law in that country, and it scares me that we're essentially not only censoring speech, but we're censoring correct scientific speech. And that should be worrying a lot of people, that people are losing their job over this. I believe he was there for 20 plus years. He's a 55-year-old father of four, and he believes sex is genetic and biological, and so it is established at birth. I tend to agree. Again, do whatever you want. Identify as a My Little Pony, as a Pegasus creature, if you will. I do whatever you like, you know. Identify as a cell phone. Or as, I don't know, you do what you want. I'm not here to bring you down, but reality is reality. We are born either a man or a woman, and no amount of hormones or surgery is going to change that, and it's a fact of life. On to the next story. Pentagon seeks an edge in quantum computing. Now, this is something that I am avidly following. And this one's really interesting because they see China as the adversary, and the Pentagon is now, you know, putting full throttle to work with DARPA, Lockheed Martin, but especially DARPA, read the article, and other military industrial complex contractors to scoop up privatized developers and computer scientists, programmers, to knock this into gear, because they need to dominate this. They feel like if somehow they lose in quantum computing, which is leading to the next step of artificial intelligence, that's going to be it for them. That the China takeover is real. So there's so much to learn about quantum computing, and I know very little, just learning about it in the last year and a half. You know, a scalable quantum computer apparently does not exist at this point. Quantum annealing has been used. Those are the D-Wave systems that Google and NASA are joint partners on. They bought into these very, very expensive D-Wave systems. Geordie Rose, one of the financiers and kind of guys behind getting this technology together and working with Google and NASA, left to form another artificial intelligence company, Goldman Sachs, Amazon, all heavily invested in artificial intelligence. And again, we know that the Trump administration is heavily invested in Goldman Sachs. Let's see. Jesse Schmidt. All right, before I get to the other two stories, first of all, Lesnar, Cormier. Hey, man, if they let Lesnar juice like they have the last few fights, the way he manhandled Mark Hunt, I don't know if Cormier can overcome that size. Obviously, he's a wrestler, but he's fighting a much bigger wrestler, a very accomplished wrestler. If he's got hands like he does against Stipe, maybe he gets to put him to sleep. Remember, Brock had some lackluster performances against bigger strikers, especially Cain Velasquez. Remember, Overeem went to the body on him. So Cormier could win that fight. I'm still interested in seeing it. And then if somebody wants to identify as Al from the 90s TV show, I would hope so. I would hope that a puppet that had a number one family sitcom that enjoyed eating house cats and then had a Saturday morning TV show, little cartoon action where you saw like the Alf verse, if you will, you know, the adventures of Alf before he was on Earth. Yeah, you can identify as that. I mean, you might not have to shave for a while. You might want to look a little brown and aardvarkish, but why not, Jesse? Jesse, by the way, all joking aside, thank you so much for the Super Chats. They absolutely help. You agree on that one? Excellent, man. I agree as well. The Cormier thing, it should be a good fight. I can't wait to watch it. All right, moving on. Check this out. So we were talking about technology possibly maybe enslaving humanity a little bit with the quantum computing. Again, it could be used for good. Who knows? But when I hear Goldman Sachs, when I hear DARPA, when I hear governments, you know, I'm skeptical. With this, this was a joint project over, you know, over vast distances with people that wanted to use 3D printing technology to do something great, and they did. They built this robotic hand for this young girl. Check it out. Here she is right here, but there's a nice shot of it right there. And again, these are engineers across mass instances working, using technology, and using 3D technology, 3D printing, to empower this young lady. And this is an example of, you know, how people can come together and do the right thing with technology. And I love this story. And I'm so happy that this girl isn't just going to have a hook or a plastic nub. And eventually, this is going to turn into something greater, maybe even biological. And I'm not against that. These type of, I mean, this isn't even really cybertronics because it's not integrated into her tissue. But one day that may be a thing. And, you know, one day we may be able to regenerate limbs. I think these are all positive things as long as we're using them in a fair sense where anybody gets the opportunity to use them. It's not just the elite class, but we already see how the medical system works in this country and most places around the world. And unfortunately, the elite do get better care than your standard citizen, especially in the United States, and everybody knows it. All right, last couple of stories here, folks. Got to go over it. Brett Kavanaugh, Supreme Court nominee, straight out of Central Casting, completely agree. There was a lot of talk inside the mainstream media that, oh, this is it. They're going to flip Roe v. Wade. Abortion's going to be over in this country. And I just don't see that as a reality. No matter where you stand on the issue, I just don't see. First of all, I don't see this guy not getting the nod. I really think that he will be nominated. He seems very mainline. I haven't looked into him that much, but he doesn't seem like he's going to shake anything up. Nothing revolutionary here, people. Okay? So, Kavanaugh gets in there. Don't expect Roe versus Wade. Again, that's mainstream media hype. They constantly put that fear onto people. And I know people like Pence have called for it and alluded to it, and it is our vice president. So, I will say that some of it's founded, but for the vast majority of it, I think it's Johnny Nonsense. And our final story of the day. I actually love this story. Which royal rule did Donald Trump break when he met the Queen during his UK visit? And it was just about every single one. Here he is. Let's watch this video kind of in silence. Here he is walking in front of her. Doesn't wait for her. She starts like pushing him. He doesn't know what's going on. Good. Good. Why are we bowing down to royalty in any way, shape, or form? I thought this was absolutely awesome. And I know he got snubbed by members of the family. Guys, it's 2018. Royalty across the board, that's everywhere. That's not just in the United Kingdom. That's not just in Europe. That's in Saudi Arabia. That's everywhere. Needs to end. Rule by bloodline needs to end. There's no reason that the Queen should have all of these guards. It shouldn't be taxpayer funded. She shouldn't have a say in government. That should all be over. It needs to end. I'm not saying we need to take, that should be a museum. That should, Buckingham Palace should be a museum, a tourist attraction. That's what it, that's all it should be. And until we realize that, it's, again, the same thing. I'm sorry, there should not be Saudi Arabian royals. People should not be above the law because of who their parents are. It's got to end. It's got to end. It's got to end. It's got to end. Guys, I want to thank you all for joining me on this broadcast. Obviously, Luke was out in Portugal. Look for new videos all week. If you want to see the very best coverage, I believe, of the Strzok hearing, the most fair coverage. Again, I'm not on Trump train here. I got a lot of flack for doing that Epstein protester interview, but I stand by that, and I stand by defending Trump when he's correct, and when Strzok is obviously biased, obviously corrupt, and obviously part of a cabal within not only the FBI but the deep state to not get him elected. As always, folks, remember, be the change you want to see in the world, and thank you so much for joining me.